Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
You know, we had a great morning yesterday morning. So as you make your way back there, we had a great morning yesterday morning as we got the opportunity to go through some Awana training. That was good stuff. There was just some really good things in that Awana training yesterday. I know I appreciated the classes I got to go to. Those were really good. Don Estep and Nancy are just a couple of those greatest guys around. I just really appreciate them. Before we get started, I'd like to do something with you. How do you talk to yourself? Do you ever talk to yourself? How many of you find out you talk to yourself more regularly than you do anybody else? There we go. There we go. All right, this is why you're my tribe. we spend a lot of time talking to ourselves. What do you say to yourself when you're talking to yourself? I got a book that says that's the title of it: How to Talk to Yourself When You're Talking to Yourself. What to say? Okay. I have found that what I say to myself is going to kind of determine what the day is going to be for me. If I get up in the morning and I say, "Oh no, bad day," my brain goes to work right away and says, "Oh, bad day? Did you say bad day? Here, let me remind you." And it pulls up the file. Here's everything about bad days. I'll remind you this. It probably could rain today. It's probably going to rain on you today. It's probably going to flood your car today. It's probably going to, and remember when, and remember when, and all those come up. And then I walk out the door going, disappointed that the sun's actually shining. You understand what I'm saying? I say a lot of things to myself sometimes that are dumb, shouldn't be said. How do you talk to yourself, and what do you say when you're talking to yourself? I'd like you to just do this with me right now, just for these few minutes we have right here. I want you to say, "I'm a child of God." I want you to say that and really mean that. I am a child of God, saved by Christ. Born by the Spirit, filled with the joy of God, I am grateful. I want you to say that with me again. I'm a child of God, saved by Christ, born by the Spirit, filled with the joy of God, and I am grateful. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to just talk to you this morning a few things. I hope today will be a very practical lesson for you. It's going to be, I think, a good time to talk together because we have a lot of things to share with each other. I'm just going to read to you again right out of Titus chapter 2. We'll be in Titus 3, so if you'd like to turn to Titus chapter 2, that should be fine because we'll be in chapter 3 in just briefly for a few minutes here. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." So this freedom of God, this undeserved, unmerited favor of God had been appearing to all men. Paul's saying this didn't just happen in Jerusalem. Man, this thing has gone every place. What happened in Jerusalem was a whole bunch of Jewish people from all over the world were there, and all of them went back to their hometowns in other countries, and they brought the grace of God with them. So that grace of God was appearing to all men. And he said, here's what it did. That grace of God was effective. It was effectual. It went to work right away, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. How many lawless deeds? Every lawless deed. So how many lawless deeds are you carrying around? Zero. If he purified you from every lawless deed, how many are you carrying around? That's right. Now, how many of you believe that? That's right. Two hands went up. Do you understand where there might be a problem? Because if he said we're purified from every lawless deed, and we don't think that, what did we say he was doing? Here's the word, lying. Lying. He didn't do that, because I'm still carrying it. Then who did you trust, and why? You trusted Jesus Christ, who took how many of your sins? All of them. And nailed them to that cross, right? Where are they? Say that like you mean it. Where are they? Gone. They're gone. Right? You've been purified from every lawless deed. Why? He goes on to say here, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Are you his own special people today? Then you've been purified, have you not? You have been redeemed from every lawless deed. You are in Christ Jesus, and you are zealous for good works. That's what we're about. Now look at Titus chapter 3 just for a moment. In verse 1, here he said this. Remind them, this is Paul writing to Titus about the church at Crete, remind them, that's the whole church at Crete, to be subject to rulers and authorities, be law-abiding people, to obey Christ Almighty, to be ready for every good work. Do you see that? To be prepared for every good work. Look at verse 8 in this same chapter. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God, how many of you are that? Have you believed in God? Right? Those who have believed in God, he goes on to say, should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable men. Look at the last, verse 14. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So, every member of the church, and that's not just Edgemont Bible Church with its roles, that's every person who's a believer in God, every person who is a part of that family of God because of what Jesus Christ did, has been redeemed from every lawless deed, has been purified to be God's special people, and has been set up to be zealous for good works. Everyone. And he's calling on everyone to be doing that. That in order that you would be fruitful, in order that needs would be met, in order that we might be the people of God. All right? He said for us to do those things. That's our calling. That's what we're about. And I'm letter B in the outline. These good works are not to be confused with social justice or with social justice warriors. I spoke to you about that last week. I'm just reviewing what we looked at last week, just very briefly. That's not what it's to be confused with. We're not to get on social justice warrior agendas and try to purify everything, clear everything up. We'll never get it done. But we are to reveal the power of the Lord Jesus Christ at work in us. And it has to be at work in us. But I share this with you. Unless we're going to come to the place where we can say, I have been redeemed from every lawless deed. I don't have them anymore. They are not mine anymore. I am now purified as a special person to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am zealous for good works. We're probably not going to do them. And we'll miss out on the power that God was giving to us to get them done. He's not asking us to do things by ourselves. He's not asking us to create programs. He's asking us to get involved with justice and compassion. It's already in you. It's wanting to be expressed. Everybody follow where I'm at? It's already out there wanting to be expressed. The power to do these good works is found in our rest, not our efforts. Now, I want to go ahead and explain more what I meant by that last week. I want to make sure we're getting it. Rest. What I mean by rest, when God took his rest on that day, he had been creating. So he's got 6 days. I'll go back over here where he's got 6 days that he's creating things. He does this. He does this. He does this. He's expended the energy to get this done. And with everything he is creating, he's putting within it a process that works already. When he's creating soil, it's got stuff in it already that's life giver. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit gives things life. So that soil has already got life in it. Why? Because he's going to call vegetation in a little while to come into that soil, and it's got to have something to live in. It's got to have a medium to live in. So he's already got the process at work. When he creates the plant, he's creating them already a process for growing, a process for maturing, a process for bearing fruit, a process for dying. It's all in there already. Everybody see where I'm at? He's creating the water with a refreshment with it already. He's creating light so that the light works with that vegetation. All of that light is giving that vegetation the power to create food for all the things he's created. That all of those things are working together in a process. Everybody see that? You got the rain, you got the air, you got the light, you got the vegetation, you got the life from it, you got the water flowing. All of that's there. And God has made every bit of it. Then you're going to come up with birds that fly, fish that are in the ocean. Already within them, they have life that he gave them. And it's the power to reproduce, the power to eat, the power to digest, the power to breathe, the power to survive. It's already in them. Everybody see that? And they are now dependent upon the water. They're dependent upon the growth of the plants. They're dependent upon flying. They're dependent upon air currents. They're dependent upon it all. It's all working. Then he comes up and makes all the animals. And inside those animals, there is already a living process that he put in them that they'd be able to bear fruit. They'd be able to reproduce themselves. They'd be able to eat and do things normally. Then he creates people. And with them, he creates the same thing. He's creating into them, and he's putting life in Adam and Eve that they can bear fruit, that they can dominate, they can move around, they can get the work done that he's called them to do. It's already there. All the processes are work, and he steps back and rests. It's all working. Everybody see where we're at? He's not having to create any new thing. He's not having to come up with any new processes because he put the processes in them right then. So God can sit and rest and watch it all work. It's all being upheld by the word of his power. His spirit is giving it life. He's not having to do any work, yet it's all working. Everybody follow that? So if we're going to be the people that God made, rest means cooperating with and using the systems provided by God. Cooperating with and using the systems provided by God. What do you have to do? Harvest. You're going to plant. You're just going to cooperate with the systems that God already has. Effort, then, is bypassing or ignoring God's systems and creating our own systems. It's going past what God had to say. I know that's the way you want it done, but let me show you what I could do. Let me do it my way. And here I'm just going to give you the illustrations of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah knew that God's process was that Sarah was going to have the promised child. And God had delayed in getting that done. Why? Because God had a special purpose he wanted with that particular child. He wanted to get Sarah to the place that she couldn't bear children anymore. Wanted to get Abraham where he was too old for that anymore, so that the child would be truly seen as a miracle of God. Everybody follow where I'm at? This is truly a child of God. Not just simply one of the processes, but it would happen by a process. When Abraham and Sarah decided that God had taken too long and didn't know what he was doing, they created another process. They stepped outside of his process and brought Hagar into the picture. With that, they destroyed the process of God and bypassed things. They were not living by faith. They had lived by sight. Everybody follow where I'm at? Same thing happened as I move up in time here. Samuel is the priest of Israel. Samuel's trying to lead the people in walking the way they ought to go, but the people are looking around. This was what God's plan was. God's plan was that the priests would be mediating the word of God to the people. The word of God would be what keeps the people together. And the priests would mediate that word to the people, bring back the sacrifices, mediate that to God, back and forth. This process would go. Mediation. had the priest that would get that done. All the people had to do was cooperate with God. Every 7 years, stop growing anything at all. Let the land rest. All he had to do was plant, harvest, and God would give them abundance. They didn't have to worry about the rain. God said, I'll give you early rain and latter rain, so that you'll have two harvests all the time. I will work, just work my systems, and I'll have it done. That is rest. But when they decided effort, they said, that doesn't sound like a good system. We're not going to rest all those 7 years. We're not going to give it that rest. As a matter of fact, we're not even going to work by the rules that you gave us to work. We have a better idea. As a matter of fact, we even like the way that the other people do their nation. So we're going to do it that way. We want a king. We don't want this priest thing going on anymore. We don't even need this word of God thing anymore. We need a king who'll go out and do our fighting for us. They bypassed the system that God had arranged. Everybody see where I'm at? And in bypassing the system that God had already arranged, God let them have the system. But that system would be very costly for them. Very, very costly for them. As those systems are that we bypass. And if you follow where I'm at? That's what I mean when I say rest and efforts. Rest is doing the way things the way that God said to do them. Effort is when I step out of that system and decide to do one that I think would be a better system. All right? So if you would, consider, let's make an application in letter D. Working with the systems God is using in us. Let's see what they are. How does one get older? How do you get older? Tell me what practice you have to do to get older. I think most of us say, it just kind of happens. And it does. Why? Because from the time you were conceived, go down to that tiny little one cell thing that becomes two. From the time you were conceived, processes were already in you that were going to make you grow and grow and grow and grow and multiply and divide, multiply and divide, multiply and divide, till you became a little body. And if I can share this with you, he already fashioned the number of days that this little body is going to get to dwell on this earth. That process was already in you. All you have to do, and you don't even have to be born. You are born by somebody else. You didn't choose anything about it. You were just born into this world. Now you're a helpless little thing that's working with the processes God has. Mother is feeding you. They're taking care of you. You're growing up. You're just getting older. The processes are already in you. To get older, you don't have to do anything. Time will pass and you will get older. But now let me ask a second question. How does one mature? How does one mature? By working with the systems that God has provided. Eating, moving, sleeping, breathing, drinking, gathering information, and converting it to wisdom. There are a lot of people get older, but some of them never get more mature. Some of them remain kids for a long time. Some of them are still retaining that 8-year-old behavior, that little temper tantrum that got them their will when they were 8 years old. They're still doing it at 18. Only they've refined it now, so that by the time they're doing it at 38, it's a much more refined pattern now. They're more complex. It's got more finesse to it than it had before. But it's still the same rotten, nasty little trick it was before. Ever see where I'm at? In order to mature, you're going to have to eat, but you have to eat right. You eat wrong, and yes, you can get older. You could get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You could just not drink water very often. Will that cause a problem? All of those things are going to cause problems. Let me just say this. How is one born again? You see, you're going to have to work with God's systems. You rest to mature. You don't create efforts. Efforts is bypassing the laws of God, bypassing the systems that God set up. That's deciding to meet. Let me ask you this. How mature do you think your son would be if he sat at home all day watching TV, eating chips, and hoping you'll bring him Big Macs every time he wants one? How long do you think it took before he got mature on that? He's not going to mature very much at all. Matter of fact, after a while, you're going to say, you've got to get out of this house while we can still get you out of this house. How's a man born again? Man's born again by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When we're born the second time, as with the first, new processes are downloaded in us by the Holy Spirit that assure our eternal life. Everybody with me so far? What you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's a good rest, isn't it? You didn't do anything for it. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He caused you to be born again. He gave you a new life. Now, with that new life, just like it was when you were first born, all kinds of processes were in you when you were first born that are going to age you. There are processes in you as a child of God that are at work in you. Grace is at work in you. Repentance is at work in you. Faith is at work in you. All the spirit gifts are at work in you. All of the spiritual fruit is at work in you. But as it is with the normal life, where you have to eat the right things, drink the right things, do the right things, get the right kind of exercise in order to mature, it's the same way with your spiritual life. You have to grow eating the right things, resting the right way, moving the right way. Without it, you're not going to mature. Everybody follow where I'm at? Our lives as children of God are fully dependent upon this work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to show you something that we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning, and it's valid for what we're looking at here. When we are born natural people. We are born naturally after the image of Adam. And being born after the image of Adam, we are inheriting things from Adam that we call the old man, that we call the natural man, that we call the flesh. It has a number of names that we get. And that natural man does things the way that natural man wants to do. And the longer he lives as a natural man, he's his own God, his own boss. He does things his own way. He forms his own opinions. Matter of fact, he doesn't like to be told much what to do or much about what's really true, because he's smart enough to have his own opinions, so he has them. And with all those own opinions, he lives his life bumping into all the other people who have that same malady. He's bumping into people who have their own same will that they want to do. And then he is confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit brings this conviction upon his life, and he begins to see, whoa, I did not realize what I was doing here. I am dead. I have offended God. I have all of these problems that I'm inheriting because of the way I am. Those broken relationships, all the grief, the hurt, the pain, even the pain I've created other people, is because of who I am. Oh, how do I get out of this? And you see that Jesus Christ died on a cross for all of that. And you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust Him. And He takes that load on Himself. He bears that load, and He gives birth in you of a whole new person. It's what the Scriptures call the spiritual man. So if I can, I'm going to go on two sides and say, here's natural man. All you have to do to be a natural man is just be born. You've got all the processes inside you. You've got all the sinfulness inside. You've got all the flesh inside of you. You're going to do things your own way. Doesn't mean you're not a nice person. You might be very nice. You're just very selfish. Just very ungodly. You understand what I'm saying? You may be a wonderful person. You may be nice to a whole lot of people. It is not about ethics. It's about your state of being. When you're born again, you're a spiritual man. Now, with that spiritual man, you've been born again by the Spirit of God, but you have inherited things from this guy. You don't stop being a body. You don't stop being a human being. But you do have a new perspective on life. Here, it was just about you and what you did. And over here in the spiritual man, God opened you up to a whole new understanding. There was a whole new world of information that opened up to you. Now you have God's perspective that's been given to you. That's brand new. You didn't see that before. You read the Bible, but it didn't mean anything before like it does now. Now when you read it, it just speaks to you right and left. Now you're excited about what the Bible has to say. But you do have a battle that goes on between these two, do you not? Hello, stay with me here. Yes, you have a battle that goes on here. Now here's the deal. Old story that was told time and time again. The man that you behave like is the one you feed the most. The one you behave like is the one you feed the most. Now, understand I'm talking behavior here. You can't change a state of being. Everybody follow where I'm at? You're a born-again person. If you've been born again, you're born again, period. That state is given to you. But your behavior, you may behave more like this guy because you know how to behave like this guy. You've got practice with this guy. You've got habits. Christ has paid for those habits, and you don't have to live that way anymore at all. You are free to break those habits. God's put a whole system in us to take care of that. It's called the put off and put on. Over here, you really didn't have anything to put on. You might reform yourself. You might say, you know, I am just really tired of the way I live. I don't want to live this way anymore. I'm going to live differently. I'm going to stop doing this. Okay, you can try to stop doing that, and maybe you'll be successful. But you haven't got anything to put on that takes the place of that. You're just going to swap one habit for another. Everybody follow what I'm saying? Over here, you have now the vast power and armament of Almighty God that's yours. That's what's been given to you. You are a new person. He sees you as a new person. As a matter of fact, he sees you as already perfect. He sees you as already glorified. Now, you may not, but if you're going to allow this guy to judge this guy in your life, you're making a big mistake. If you're letting this guy say, well, you ain't so much. You there you are. You think you're just everything in a bag of chips. You ain't. If you let this guy keep judging what you can and can't do, then you're going to lose and act like this guy. But, aren't you glad for that? Three-letter word, B-U-T. Love it. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And here's your power. This is where it is. Now, look, Spirit of God is going to work with a compliant, believing person. If you're going to think like this guy over here, don't look to be filled with the Spirit. Look to be convicted by the Spirit. Not filled with the Spirit, not completed by the Spirit. It's only over here. If you feed this guy, he gets stronger. You feed this one, he gets stronger. Everybody see what I'm saying? If you're going to say, I'm not going to study the Word of God because that's really what pastor needs to do. I'm content to let pastor read it or my Sunday school teacher read it or my WANA leader or someone else read it, and then they can just tell it to me. And I believe what they say. Or I don't. It's up to me. I don't have to choose to believe them if I don't want to. If that's the attitude you're going to take, that means that this guy is dominant. Everybody follow what I'm saying? It means that this guy wins. And this one over here gets thinner and thinner. More drawn up because he's got nothing to eat. The Spirit of God wants to interact with you at that level. It's you and the Word of God. Yes, we encourage each other all the time. I'm not saying that we don't do that at all. We do encourage each other, and we need each other. But let's go. I want you to look at the outline and let's work some things out. How do you get born again? You trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But how do you mature? You cooperate with the Spirit and the processes given us. You accept and receive the grace of God. You didn't do it yourself. You're not saving yourself. You're not trying harder to be a better Christian. If you're there, you're back over with this guy. Everybody see what I'm saying? If you're trying harder to be a better Christian all the time, you're living in this guy. Don't live here anymore. Leave this guy to die. Come over here and rest. Jesus, you said, by grace I have been saved. Then that means it's not a thing that I did. So I accept and receive today that not a thing I did has put me in this favorable position. Nothing that I did put me here. I was born by your Spirit. I receive today the truth of what you said in your word, that Christ is the Savior, the King, the Lord, the one who's taking all this world and restoring it. He's going to bring it back to the position it was back at creation. He is its creator. Do you understand what I'm doing? I'm now putting Christ as preeminent in everything in my life. That's what it means to abide in Christ and let his words abide in us. That's what it means in Colossians 3:16 to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. I am changing my worldview. I'm looking this whole thing over and say, no, it is not run by the Republicans or the Democrats or the Socialists or the Communists or anybody else. This is my Father's world. It is being used by my Father to bring it into the time when my Savior is going to be here. I am going to give answer to my Savior, not to the Republicans, not to the Democrats, not to the Communists, not to the Socialists, not to the Economists, not to the Philosophers, not to the Teachers. I am giving an answer for my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is over all of them. It's abiding in Christ and his words abiding in us. Let her be fulfilled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. So I can say this. To do this, I start and I think. And that's why I say, what do you say when you talk to yourself? It is of great value to start your day thinking, I am a child of God, saved by Christ, born by the Spirit, filled with the joy of God, and I'm grateful. And then start saying what you're grateful for. Start your day that way. Start it with gratitude, because that is the fullness of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, we were looking and reading, we read earlier, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. And the same thing is said about being filled with the Spirit. I'm supposed to, when I am completed by the Spirit, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. I'm giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear how gratitude plays in that? When I take that faithful step of obedience, when I can look my day over, and before I get a chance to let my brain kick in my complaint for the day, I feed my brain this: my Father will work all things together for the good today, because I love God and I'm called according to his purpose. Whatever I thought was out there to worry me does not. My Father is in charge of my day. I am grateful. And if you have to stop 30 times every day and remind yourself of that, then do it. Because this guy wants to be fed. And he wants to be fed the promises of God. He wants to be fed the Word of God. He wants to be fed the Word of Christ. He wants to be fed on your believing it. Your trusting it. You have a purpose, friend. The reason you want to do this at all, it reminds you, one, who am I? It reminds you, number two, what's my purpose? And once you get those two things down, I tell you, you can't stop a person who's living on purpose. Let me say it again for you. You can't stop a person that's living on purpose. When a person has a purpose in life, they know what they're doing. They know what they're there for. And every day they move to that purpose. Let me ask you, Do you know your purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? Could you state it? If somebody said to you, what do you think your purpose in life is? Could you state it in a sentence or two? Have you stopped to think about it just for a moment? Are you living just the natural man gliding along? Or are you living this guy that's being fed all new stuff, that's doing all new things? He's learned a whole new way of life and a way of joy. If you could classify your thinking today, would you classify it natural guy? Would you classify it spiritual guy? Because that'll make all the difference in what you think and what you do today. You see, if you're that person that is zealous of good works because you are a special person, purified by the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of your past paid for already and removed out of the way, then I don't have to live in my past. I have a purpose now, and I can live that purpose now. As long as you hang on to what you think you were, you're going to keep examining yourself every day to whether you're living up to the right standard or not. And that way you're letting this natural guy judge you again. Don't do that. We have big work to do. We have big things to do. Awana's starting up. And we're going to need at least 10 new kids in Awana. 10 new kids who can show up. Do you know children who might be living on your street that you could bring to Awana? We need them. We need Awana to have good work done for us. So if you would, take a look at the second page of your notes. Second page of your notes. If you're there, you're great. All right? If you have seen that what you are called to do is be zealous for those good works, if you have seen that God wants you to be filled with the Spirit, let me just give you some opportunities that await you. Some of you may have simply been looking for an opportunity to be at work. Well, here's some things. Awana, number one. Awana is requesting prayers. Please pray for Awana. Would you do that every day? Would you just have just a few moments to pray every day for Awana? Number two, they need people to listen to kids read Scripture. Now listen, that can be a fun event. But I'm going to say to you, whether it's fun or it's not fun, those kids need to hear the Word of God. And you need a chance to work. You understand where I'm coming from? That's one day a week, just a few minutes of your day, sitting at a table, listening to kids recite Scripture, and helping them to get it said properly. They need store donations. People who will say, I can give this. They have what the store is two times a year, like around Christmas time and then around the end of the year. And they need donations for that. The kids can come by and take the points they've earned and buy the things out of that store. Have you got something maybe you could buy at the, you see a toy or about anything that you can find that's kind of cheap, you could put out there for the store donations? And nursery. We don't have a nursery for all of the people who come to Awana. We have it for our workers. And the workers need somebody to take care of their children while they go do the work. Could you come and sit for about an hour and a half watching the nursery? 2 to 3 workers. Could you take a faith-filled step of obedience and just say, I'll be that person. I'll be that person. I'm going to go in there and help my kids out. I want to help the workers out. I love kids. I don't want to be with them. Okay. BCS, Berean Christian School. They could use your prayers. We're smaller now than we've been. Well, I think we have an enrollment now of 22. That's a very, very small school right now. So we need your prayers on how to finish and complete everything we need to complete. We need volunteers. What it would cost? 2 to 3 hours a week. You could just come in on that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever it is, or Monday, whatever day you can come in and work with those kids. They will be a blessing to you, and you'll be a blessing to them. You'll be fulfilling God's work in your life. And they can use financial help. If you could say, I'm going to give $10 a month. If just 80 families in here gave $10 a month, that'd be $8,000 by the end of the year. That's not a lot of money. And it could be done. Could you help with finances? The next area, Restore Network. This is a group that we have aligned ourselves with. Why? Because we love families and we love children. We are about families. Look at us. Look around us. We're about families. Because we're about families, and that's extended families. There are people that have adopted grandparents here. Well, we've had adopted grandparents in this church. And some of you do too. It's extending that whole family. It's making us a family. Because we believe in families, here's Restore Network. We need people who want to be foster parents. And you say, oh, that scares me. I don't want to be a foster parent. I don't think I could do that. Great. If you can't do that, how about being child care for our foster parents? We have several foster parents right here. Could you provide child care once a month, once a week? Could you provide child care for them? Could you provide child care for the workers? Once a month, once a quarter, I forget what that is. Is it once a month? Once a month, they have the foster parents all get together so that they can have some training, do some other good things there, and they need child care for the people there. I think it'd be great if Edgemont had a team that could get together and really, because we can do some good things, that we know good things to do with children. It'd be great if we could do that. Then providing meals, whether it's for our foster parents or it's meals for the other families. Sometimes families get children they didn't know they were going to get, and they don't have the food to be able to feel things. And that's the same thing with needs. And that's what I mean by needs. All right. So that's one. You could check with our life support team or life team. They gave even more details about that. Here's benevolence. Now, years ago, when we were getting our building paid for, we were finally out of debt. When I came here, we had about $500,000 worth of debt, something like that. Not very many of us to do that, and it was difficult. But we made a commitment together before God that we would pay it off and never go back into debt again. God was gracious to us. And a 30-year loan got paid off in 11 years. So it got paid off much faster than they thought it was going to. Everything was paid off. And when it was paid off, we said we'd do this. We would provide a benevolence ministry at the church. We would provide, especially members in our own church, for the needs they have. In addition to that, we started saying, if you need $20 or less, when the offering plate comes around, please feel free to take that $20 from that offering plate. And that went on for, I don't know, 2-3 years until some people started doing some things that were not legal and got in trouble for it. And not the church. Some people visiting the church decided that if there's not enough cash in there, why not just take checks? So they started taking checks out and tried to cash them all around to get whatever your offering was that came in a check. They tried to cash it. Well, that's kind of illegal. You know, like, you can't do that. So we stopped it. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you like to do this? If you are glad you have a job, if you are glad that you're retired, if you are glad that you're alive, could you give $1 a week just as a thank offering? And just put it in the offering plate when it comes around. That money will be used then in benevolence to help cover the costs of that. You think you could do that? It's something to think about. All right. There are obviously other ministries here. Mosaic, that's our ministry that we work with pregnancy care centers. They have all kinds of needs there. I've supplied some of those. How about widows? This is one that's close to all of our hearts. We have widows. We have ladies that need to be taken care of. You could invite them to a meal. If you got justice and compassion and spirit filling in your life, you could invite them to a meal. You could provide a meal. Maybe you just want to drop a meal by. You could watch their children. Some of our widows have children. You could watch the children. You could love them and make friends with them. Wouldn't that be radical? That you actually meet them and start loving them and make friends with them. You could help them with manual tasks they have to do. For missions, we have a team leader to coordinate mission efforts. We need a team leader to help us coordinate those efforts. And property deacons needs a leader to facilitate the agenda. Not do all the work, just facilitate the agenda. You think you could do any of those things? Now, I know these last few minutes have not been just all those really bold, encouraging things, but here's what I want you to know. The Spirit of God is at work in us to make us into the children of God that He called us to be. And sometimes people don't do anything because they didn't know what to do. Well, now we're trying to tell you, here are some things that can be done. And I know some of these things are passive. They're not going to require a great deal of work, but they will be moved from the compassion and justice. And you and I both know that once you start the ball rolling, it starts to roll on its own. Everybody follow where I'm going? Then all you're having to do is guide it. But it is really difficult to steer a parked car. To move us. To move us to even greater things than we've ever done before. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're doing in us, for the way that you're doing it. For the things you want to work in us. I'm going to thank you for that even now. Lord Jesus, make us fruitful. Cause us to be a people who abide in Christ, who long to see Jesus Christ glorified and honored. Draw us close to Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what He's doing in us. We ask that by your Spirit, you might grant to us fruitfulness. For we know that's for what you have created us. And we thank you for that. Be with us as we go from here just now. Grant to us that we might have that sweet fellowship with you and enjoy. Grant to us a good week, Father, filled with opportunities to love one another, to love God, and enjoy the life that you have given to us in Christ's name.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.